guess we're ready. Okay. I'm back. It seems like forever. And I get to come back and I get to teach Sunday school again. It just don't get no better than that. But you may be praying for our brother Doug as he continues to mend. And maybe one of these days he'll get back up here again and be teaching Sunday school. Anyway, we've been hearing a lot of preaching here lately on the internet and some here about St. Swithin's Day. That's what I call what the world calls Christmas. And anyways, today we're not going to have Sunday school about that. What we're going to study is about New Year's Day. Now, what do we know about New Year's Day? Well, we're going from 2023 and we're going to go to 2024. Okay, now, what does that day specifically hold? Well, not much, really. But what does everybody do? What does everybody do every New Year's? And I couldn't remember what that word was. And so I don't know if you can see it, but it says right there, resolution. Everybody, well, not everybody, because I don't, because I know my resolution ain't going to last 15 minutes. But everybody makes a resolution. Now, what would be another name for a resolution? Wouldn't that be considered a vow? So guess what we're going to be studying this morning? And maybe next week, if I'm here. I don't know what the future may bring. But anyway, turn to Numbers chapter 30. And this whole chapter really deals with vows. And so mostly we're just going to read this. We've got a lot of other places to turn to, so hopefully I can read fast. We're not here ahead of time. So that means I'm sure we're going to run out of time before we run out of places to turn to. But anyway, Numbers chapter 30, and we're going to read verses 1 through 16. That's the whole chapter. Anyway, Numbers 30, verse 1, and Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Commanded, not suggested. Not saying, well, you ought to do this, maybe. The Lord hath commanded. Verse 2, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. We'll stop there for a minute, let that sink in. That's a command of God. If you vow a vow, we're going to say resolution. You make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to read a chapter a day for the whole year of 2024. You better keep it. That's a vow to the Lord. Verse 3, and it's not just us guys. If a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord and bind herself by a bond, being in his father's house in her youth, so this talk about young people, we don't have to worry about that here, do we? Anyway, and her father hear her vow and her bond wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace in her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. So, we have a responsibility for our children too, don't we? If they vow a vow, and we hear them, and we shut our mouth, we don't correct them and tell them you're not supposed to vow a vow that you can't possibly keep or something like that. If you speak up to them, and then the vow is not allowed to stand. But this says, every bond whereas she has bound her soul shall stand. If you think that what she has vowed is good and right, then it stands. Verse 5, that if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth, not any of her vows or her bonds, wherewith as she hath bound her soul, shall stand, and the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her. So, then, it doesn't say that, you know, it's everything is peachy keen and hunky-dory. It says that the Lord shall forgive her. It is a sin in and of itself. And I do believe that there are levels of sin. There are some things that are gross sins. There are some things that are less gross. I'll put it that way. In the eyes of the Lord, sin is sin. He cannot He is not satisfied with anything that is done in sin. And here he says, he shall forgive her. The Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her. So we need to pay attention to what our children are saying. And if she had at all an husband when she vowed or uttered aught out of her lips wherewith she bound her soul, and her husband heard it and held his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vow shall stand, and her bonds wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. So we're starting to get the picture here. Yeah, there are some people that are in more control. The man of the family, he's the one that is in control here after the Lord. And we read in other places where the man is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So anyway, also, you know, the man is the head of the family. He is to take care of it. And if you hear someone, and the husband here hears a wife, maybe she's a young wife or inexperienced, and she vows a vow that is he knows is contrary to God's word, maybe, or it's something that she cannot possibly do, maybe, he can disallow that. But if not, then it'll stand. It's going to happen. But if her husband disallow her on the day that he heard it, then he shall make her vow which she vowed, and that which she uttered with her lips, wherewith she bound her soul, of none effect, and the Lord shall forgive her. Again, it's still sin, but it's not like breaking a vow. And the Lord shall forgive her. Now, I don't know any other sin in the Bible where a man, or anybody else for that matter, has the ability to affect somebody else as far as their spiritual life is concerned, like dealing with this here. You know, we make a vow to the Lord, and if the husband, he hears it and he says, no, this can't be, then the vow is broken. But it's not as great a sin as if the vow stood and she didn't keep it. Verse 9, but every vow of a widow and of her that is divorced, wherewith they have bound their soul, shall stand against her. And if she vowed in her husband's house, or bound her soul by a bond with an oath, now I take this to mean that, well, that those that, I'm not sure how this works out here. Is a widow or her that is divorced, where they're bound, it says they shall stand against her. But, and if she vowed in her husband's house, okay, see, the husband is gone. Either through divorce or through death, he's gone. But if she vowed that vow in his house, or bound her soul by a bond with an oath, and her husband heard it and held his peace at her, and disallowed her not, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. So even when he's gone, he's still in charge of the family. Quite a responsibility, all of us guys, isn't it? When your kids grow up and they leave, and they're still our responsibility. They never cease to be our children. And even when we're dead, according to this, you know, the widow, it's still our responsibility. So while we're here, we need to teach them the right way. Verse 12, but if her husband hath utterly made them void on the day he heard them, then whatsoever proceedeth out of her lips concerning her vows or concerning the bond of her soul shall not stand. Her husband hath made them void, and the Lord shall forgive her. Again, the Lord shall forgive her. It's still sin, just not as bad as breaking a vow. Verse 13, every vow and every binding oath to afflict a soul, her husband may establish it, for her husband may make it void. So we've got to be careful. You've got to pay attention. Us guys, and you girls, that don't mean you're off the hook either. It says here that the Lord will forgive you. But I think there has to be repentance there too. Verse 14, but if her husband altogether hold his peace at her from day to day when he establishes all her vows or all her bonds which are upon her, he confirmeth them because he held his peace at her in the day that he heard them. So, again, you know, it's up to us. Do we let it stand or do we disavow it? I think that's probably where that word comes from, to disavow. I'm not sure, so don't quote me on that. Maybe I shouldn't even said it, but, you know, it kind of makes sense that way. But anyway, verse 15, but if he shall anyways make them void after that he hath heard them, then he shall bear her iniquity. Okay. After this is over with, she makes the vow, and you hear it, and you don't do anything. And then later on, you do something. Then you are going to bear her iniquity. Verse 16, these are the statutes which the Lord commanded Moses between a man and his wife, between the father and his daughter, being yet in her youth, in her father's house. So, you know, this is a statute. It's a law. And the Lord commanded. So, we need to follow what God says. His law, true, we're not saved by the law. What does the law do? The law proves that we can't be saved that way. We can never keep the law fully and completely like our Savior did. But we need to at least make the effort. Turn to Deuteronomy. Chapter 23. And we're going to read verses 21 through 23. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. Okay, so let's say in our tithes and offerings, you know, we have a tithe is the tenth, right? And offering is over and above the tenth. So we say we're going to offer an additional tenth. Many people call that double tithing. And I call it, you know, just giving back to the Lord something that's already His. But, we say that when it says we shouldn't be slack to pay it. We told the Lord we was going to do it. We better do it. For the Lord thy God surely will require it of thee. You're going to pay me. You said you was going to pay me. You're going to pay me now or I'm going to take it. And he can take it. And it would be sin in thee. So not only is it going to be taken, but it's also going to be sin. And we shouldn't willingly sin against the Lord. I mean, that's... A child of God should seek in all things to please God. And we're better off if we just keep our mouth shut. And we're going to read some of them, hopefully. I don't know how far we're going to get. But he will require of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. Just keep your mouth shut. Don't say, I'm going to pay an extra tenth for an offering. And, okay, if you do it, that's fine. Also, it's okay if you don't say it. It's not sin to not do something that you can't do. Now, if I would sit up here and vow a vow and say, I'm going to pay the Lord $1 million this year. I think we can all pretty well figure out what's going to happen with that one. I'm not going to be able to fill the vow. And when I could have and should have kept my mouth shut, those words are going to come between me and my Lord. And he's going to require it of me. Whatever it is that I have, it's all in his hands anyway. Everything I have, mighty in power, I live in a wonderful home. We got heat in the wintertime. We got cold in the summertime. We got food and food and food and food and food. And then Roger brings us some more, which we appreciate. But we need to keep our mouths shut. You know, think about things like this before you open your mouth and stick your foot in it. Verse 23, that which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform. So whatever you say, you better be willing to do it. even a free will offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. That's a promise to God. So, we've got to be careful. The Bible says be careful for nothing, but there are things we need to be careful about. We don't want to do anything that comes between us and our Lord. Now we're going to have a couple of different things here. Turn to Psalm 50. Psalm 50. And verses 14 and 15. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Now, if we vow a vow, then I don't know. We've already had our Thanksgiving messages, haven't we? Yeah. Well, what does it say here? Offer unto God thanksgiving. Thank Him for the mighty empower. Thank Him for the wonderful house that I live in. Thank Him for the heat in the winter and the cold in the summer, and thank Him for the food and the food and the food and the food. We need to thank Him. He has provided all of it. Pay thy vows unto the Most High. We thank, Brother Steve borrows $50 from Brother Roger, and he says, I'll pay you back on Friday. And you might think, well, that's a vow to Roger. That's not where it ends, is it? That's a vow to the Lord, too. What is your witness going to be if you constantly make vows and break them? You're not going to have a witness. You ever heard the word deadbeat? I'm not sure if that's appropriate here, but I think maybe it is. Anyway, and, the Lord says here, and call upon me in the day of trouble. When do people that are, I'll say borderline Christian or maybe a little bit less, when do they come to the Lord in prayer? It's when something's gone bad. I need the alternator fixed on the mighty impala, and I haven't been praying about anything forever, and all of a sudden, oh, Lord, give me an alternator. Yeah, I'll tell you what's going to happen with that prayer. It's going to fall on the floor after it bounces off the ceiling. Call upon me in the day of trouble. This is, if you have kept your vows, if you have offered thanksgiving to God, then you call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. I don't know how many times in my life He has done that. He has last minute, things come up, and He provides. Now, sometimes He provides what I need instead of what I want. The mighty Impala is a wonderful car, but it's not a Corvette, is it? But I quit wanting a Corvette a long time ago. For one thing, if I got in it, I'd never be able to get out of it. And Connie agrees with me on that. And I don't think she could either. So we would get in the Corvette and there we would die. So anyway, in the last part of that there he says, "And thou shalt glorify me." Let people know what the Lord has done for us. You know, we can say all the physical things, you know, that I mentioned before. You know, the car, the house, the air conditioning, the furnace, and the freezers that are plumb full. But we need to tell everybody about the spiritual things. He has saved my soul. I'm going to get to go to heaven and be with him forever and ever and ever and ever. I said food. Okay, well, I'm going to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. And you just keep on going. Don't ever stop. And when you get to the end of all the evers, you can say, I'm still going to be with my Lord. Psalm 76. Psalm 76, verses 7 through 12. Thou, even thou, art to be feared. And who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? This is talking about the Lord here. You know, we say from time to time, you know, fear the Lord. Well, this is a time when you truly need to fear the Lord. Thou, even thou, art to be feared. And who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still. The whole earth fears God. Now, we don't think of the earth is an animate object. You know, it has feelings or things like that. But according to God here, it says, you know, that is called judgment to bear from heaven. The earth feared and was still. All of creation fears God. And not without cause. What have we done? What has he placed in our care? In general, you know, the things that we have in our own life. But what about the world here? Hasn't he placed that more or less in our care? And we're not going to go Star Trek in here, but, you know, if we had people on the moon, wouldn't we be responsible for taking care of the moon? And so far, all we've done with the moon is make it into a junkyard. We send a bunch of stuff up there, and it's still there, and it's junk. Verse 9. When God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth, Selah. Now, this is a continuation of verse 8. So I'll read them again, but I'll read them together. Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still. When God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth, Selah. That means think about it. All these things. God arose to judgment. You know, why is there judgment? Because there's sin. Right? Now, if we come into God's house, and I don't think we're going to do it, but, you know, we get ready to leave after the service is over, and there's candy wrappers all over the place and a few pop bottles and stuff like that. Well, there's multiple things wrong with that. We should want to take care of the Lord's house, for one thing. And all this stuff about eating and drinking and being merry and stuff like that, you do that at home. You come to God's house to worship Him. You come to God's house to hear about the Word and to be instructed to know what things mean. Sometimes we don't know. We have to think about it. That's why it says Selah. And sometimes I have to think a lot about it. Verse 10, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Okay, so what do we do if we see somebody not taking care of, say, the God's house? We are to, I think, get mad. Now, I'm not saying we need to get right up in their face, but, you know, it wouldn't hurt. We don't do that here. This is God's house. Show some respect. Or, in other words, fear God. The wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Then God doesn't have to do anything about it, does He? We're taking care of business. Hopefully. Verse 11, vow and pay unto the Lord your God, that all that be round about Him bring presents unto Him that ought to be feared. Okay. It's not wrong to vow, is it? It's wrong to vow and not pay. It says here, vow and pay unto the Lord your God, that all that be round about Him bring presents unto Him that ought to be feared. We are to bring gifts. What are our gifts? We ain't got much to give Him, do we? We can sing songs of praise to His name. We can worship Him in His house. We can worship Him in our own homes, too. But this is where we need to be. All that are about Him, round about Him, bring presents unto Him that ought to be feared. We're hearing a lot about that fear thing, anyway. If you don't do what the Lord tells you to do, you need to fear Him. You need to fear Him anyway. But like I said earlier, our lives are in His hand constantly. And maybe if I don't fear Him like I should, I don't do the things I should, I don't use the things He's placed in my care to His glory, maybe that furnace might go out. And in the wintertime, instead of having heat in the wintertime, I have cold in the wintertime. And, you know, that happens. Same thing in the summertime, only reversed. Air conditioner quits. Now, our air conditioner quit this last year. We had to get a new one. But I don't think that was a punishment. I think it was just time for that one to go. But anyway, I kind of asked myself. But there are sometimes in this church, there are people, and we don't fight about it, but when, say, a preacher is coming to visit or during conference time or something like that, and people need a place to stay, there's a competition almost. As, you know, I want him to stay with us. We want to use what God's placed in our care to His glory. We're going to give a place to a man of the Lord. He's going to come here to preach for us. We're going to make sure he leaves about 10 pounds heavier, too. I can guarantee you that. And if I don't do it, Roger will, because he makes beef stew, you know. Anyway, bow and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be round about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is terrible to the kings of the earth. This is, you know, we need to be humble, don't we? What am I? I'm a sinner. Right? But in the eyes of the Lord, I'm perfect. His Son came and died for my sins. And then he took his life back up again that I might be with the Father in eternity. And according to God's purpose, I have already received my glorified body. Now, I can guarantee you, and you can probably tell from looking, that I have not got my glorified body yet. But it's that sure. And I talk a lot about the promises of God, and that's one of them. He's going to wipe away every tear that I have. He's going to provide me everything that I need. And I'm going to get to sing praises to him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Anyway, I'm going to stop there. And like our pastor, I'll try to have a time limit here. But anyway, you all stay tuned. We're tuned back in about 5 minutes. The pastor's going to have a great message.